Good evening, listeners. Welcome to another special episode of Lost of Lieutenant. I am joined by our special guests today, Kevin and Ryan, and we're going to be talking about Arcfinity. Do you guys want to introduce yourselves? We'll start with Kevin.
Hello, you guys know me, former host on the show, coming back for a special episode to discuss this very exciting event that we've got coming up in Melbourne in about 8 weeks-ish time.
That's not enough. That's not enough time. I've got an army to paint.
I shouldn't be here. I should be painting.
I've got a display board to make, apparently.
Oh, and the Ryan. Crunch. Here it is. Hello, I'm Brian, local Infinity hooligan and Arc 40K enthusiast.
Is this your first time on the show?
I was on one time before. Or something? White Banner, I think.
Yeah, you did a white. Yeah, you did do a White Banner thing.
Yeah, because I did.
Was that with us or White Noise?
No, it was with you guys.
With me?
Yeah.
So long ago.
It was a hot minute ago. Yeah.
I think it was a big fire team update thing that you guys did some stuff about.
Oh, I do recall.
I don't remember too much about it, but you know, that was sort of just at the start of my Infinity career, so I'm fairly certain it was about that long ago.
Insights you were taken away from that lovely episode. Thanks for having me again.
We and you guys should do another one, seeing as White Banner has been updated again.
It's now become vanilla with fire teams. Hey, you know how Yujing and IA used to be the heavy infantry death ball? Welcome to the new invincible army. It's called White Banner. So we're here to chat today about Arcfinity, well, Arc 40K, Arcfinity.
Arcfest. All the arcs.
Arc everything. We love Arc here. Starting with its history way back in the Bible, and all the animals 2x2, and here we come 4,000 years later to an Infinity 2-day event. I'll apologize. After the show,
Kevin,
about that joke.
Terrible joke, but I'll let it slide. It's fine. I'm not on the cast anymore. You can do what you want. But I think a lot of people maybe listening in might be like, what the fuck is Arc? And hey, you know, if you'd asked me that about 6 months ago, I would have gone, I think it's something to do with 40K or something. But this is why we've got Ryan on the show, because he is a Arc veteran, if that's the right term you can use for it.
It is exactly the right term, yeah. 10-year veteran. I have my certificate and all.
You got your badge, you got your medal.
Yeah.
So, do you want to tell us about Arc a little bit?
It's
what makes it unique?
It started in 1998, and it's a 40K tournament that was part of the Arcanicon role playing weekend. And it's just sort of gotten bigger and bigger and bigger, till now it's sort of one of the biggest 40K events in the Southern Hemisphere. It's bounced around to a bunch of different venues. It's had a bunch of different systems attached to it over the years, but it's always traditionally been mostly a 40K event, and that's what's carried it. They've had like Lord of the Rings at one event. They tried out Vanity one time, but mostly it's just a really fun, exciting 40K event, and it's a little bit different from other events. It's always been a little bit smaller in terms of the size of the game. So for instance, at the moment, a standard sort of tournament, you know, evening of play, standard tournament size game is 2,000 points, and Arc is 1350. So you kind of got a big part of it with your list design is killing your darlings. You got to cut out some of those synergies and stuff that make for kind of intense net lists. But it also has this huge focus on sportsmanship and the creative side of the hobby. You have to bring an army that's fully painted, and you get scored in your overall standings based on not only how well you do it winning games, but how well you do it sports and how well you do it painting and the hobby side as well. Yeah, so they've always traditionally had this thing like the three rules: play for fun, paint your army, and don't be that guy. And they've sort of had like different names over the years, but they're sort of like the three pillars of doing well at ARC. Is you kind of have to like do well in all of those categories. And yeah, they do a lot of like really cool community stuff. So there's lots of charities that go on every year. So we'd have for many years.
I didn't know about this actually with ARC. I knew that I'd heard about it, but this is actually really interesting that it does have a big charity component to the ARC event.
Yeah, well, they just do lots of raffles, and it's like it's such a good community event. I mean, for a long time, the guys that used to run it for a long time, one of them had like some pretty horrific like heart problems, so they raised tons of money for. I think it was the Heart Foundation Australia. It was one of the, you know, the big sort of heart foundations locally. And so what they do is like we'd have this apocalypse game on the Saturday night, and you just hang out and drink beers, and it was very, very silly. But the losers had to give, I think it was $10 each, like every general. But inevitably, both sides would just donate the money, and then we'd sort of, you know, chuck an extra cash that you had in your wallets and stuff, and you know, all the beers go to charity as well. And they do lots of like raffles for various charities and stuff as well, as and when like the TOs sort of think, you know, there's important things they should raise money for. Yeah, so that sort of side of it has always been very exciting and very cool. But they also
to get the sweat out of your competition, I guess. You know, if you make a charity event or you make it sort of for fun. I mean, there's obviously going to be those people that want to win and want to you know, hear the lamentations of the women and drive your energy before them.
Well, they do stuff like God, what is it? It was like game five, and it was usually always game five. Like, you could just buy your secondaries. You could just purchase your secondaries with...
Like, your objectives?
Yeah. So it's a charity.
Oh. Yeah, and all the money would just go to charity. So it was just like a no-brainer thing.
I'd buy classified every game if I could.
Yeah, so everyone would just bring, like... You know, you just have the extra $10 in your wallet, and they'd just be like... And everyone... Absolutely, everyone there. It's like, of course, like, yeah, for sure. It's like such a great cause.
Man, I'd run Sabotage every fucking game.
So they also do a bunch of other cool stuff for the community. Like they really venerate the people that go and the people that help. So all of the organizers and all the attendees get awards every 5, 10, 15. Like every 5 years, you get a veterans award, and they're pretty crazy, man. Like they had, you know, the 20th, like guides get their 20th, and like it's standing ovations. Like the whole room, sort of 200 dudes get up, and like it's big cheers, and because you know everyone's known these guys for like literal years. There's like little kids playing that like are full grown men with their own kids now that would have played their first games against like these dudes, you know. And then there's one thing they do that I freaking love. They do the widow's raffle. So everyone that has a spouse can get a raffle ticket. And then they give away like roses or little like cute gift vouchers and stuff for everyone who left their wives at home to look after the kids or whatever.
That's fantastic.
It's so cool, right? And then there's the help a motherfucker raffle, which is like when they're packing up at the end of the day. Everyone who helps pack up just gets a couple of raffle tickets, and then, you know, whoever wins gets a slab or whatever. And that one's sort of just ingrained in me, like, at every Infinity tournament I'm at, I'm just like, it's like Pavlovian almost. Like, I'm just sort of like, I might get some beers. So I'm just like packing up, and I'm like, wait, I'm at a fucking Infinity tournament. I'm not getting any beers out of this. What am I doing?
Yeah, except the beer at your house after the...
Except the beers down the pub after, you know, we're having a nice big celebration.
You know what? You help me pack up a table, I'll buy you a beer every time.
Done.
Well, that just sort of touches on a handful of like the things that makes it like just a really fun experience.
More than a tournament, right?
That's exactly right.
And
you know, it's all sort of community stuff, so like the beers come from, you know, one of the guys that has been going to ARC for 20 years and was a casual at like the Melbourne Warhammer or Games Workshop store like a million years ago now. And like, you know, that guy's been in the community for ages. It's all guy, you know, people from the community just helping each other out. So as far as I'm
tasting with Kevin at the
mind after day one, and just, I'll be my gift to you, but then your gift to me will be that you don't turn up the next day.
everybody in the top 10 has to drink 4 glasses of shochu with Kevin.
Oh no.
Homemade stuff.
Went to Infinity and then never came home.
Exactly.
So I got my 10-year veterans last year. And the best I've done overall is second. I've got a couple other top 10 finishes, and I've done okay with painting, but yeah, not won any sort of sports or painting awards. But it's a very, yeah, it's an event that just keeps coming back, and it's an event that I just paint a 40k army every year, year in, year out. Just so I have a chance to go to ARC and catch up with everyone. And I'm just very, very, very excited that there's going to be Infinity there this year.
Yeah.
It's so cool.
So the painting and the sports, so it's not just the best general that wins the tournament. Is that correct?
The sports matter a huge amount. So this is one of the things I was talking to Kev about the other day. It's sort of like, people will go to participate in aspects of the hobby. So the overall winner is the person that does the best in, like, gaming, the best in painting, and the best in hobby, and has the best list. So they might not win all the games. They might not have the best painted army. They might, like, you know, there might be other guys there who, or girls there, that are just amazing to play against, but they're really good in all of those things, you know? They're, like, top of the bell curve, on the other side of the bell curve for all of those different categories, which means it just puts them overall in front of everyone else. But there's people that go, like, specifically just to do certain things. So some people will go just to win best general, and that's like year in, year out, they'll be there at ARC like just to like win the best general award, and they'll, like, you know, they'll finish at the end of the day, they might finish like sub 100 in the rankings. That's sort of not uncommon. Whoa. For that to happen. Well, I mean, because, you know, you're three colors, I mean, like, because you're taking the strongest meta stuff, right? You got to get your army done. And it might have changed. There might have been a rules release or whatever. Like, you know, you got to get your stuff. Like, it's kind of like the hobby side of that is really cutthroat, so you got to be really fast. So maybe your army is not as well painted as everyone else. Maybe you're not as like forgiving or like chill with certain interactions on the battlefield because you feel you got to. But I mean, that's, you know, that's what they're there at ARC to do, right? And they're still going to be like there to have fun. Like,
and they'll still be rewarded for it as well. At the end.
Yeah, absolutely. They get like, there's a whole 10 players, like the top 10 for every category goes up and gets like a big cheer, and then the podium goes up and and gets their prizes and their plaques and stuff. So, like, yeah, you can see, like, recurring faces in every category every year if you go for a particular length of time, right? And then there'll be other people who, like, they just dedicate all their time to making these amazing armies that just look, like, spectacular, that maybe, like, you know, maybe they've got a message on their phone being like, hey, did you want a practice game? And they're like, ooh, I've got 26 layers to do on this one Terminator, so, ooh, like, I might...
It's not.
I might just do that tonight, you know?
What does this, what does this model do again?
Oh, man, I came... What? Came within the top... Inside the top 20 one year, 17th or something. And I got the award for the person that came highest without winning anything, which is $20 out of Dan's wallet. It's hilarious. He's got a whole story about it and stuff as well. And I was at the pub afterwards with the guy that came second. And he's like, oh, so how did you go, like, using all of these abilities and stuff? And I was like, I didn't do any of that. I have no idea what you're talking about. apparently, Ultra Raids could just redeploy it before the game starts at that point in 40K. And I was just like, I don't know. Sure, cool.
I just rolled dice, man.
I took a kind of, like, really friendly Space Marine army that had, like, stuff that I thought was cool and, like, had lots of nice conversions and didn't really care about it at all and had fun. So, ooh.
Excellent.
Yeah, and he was furious at me.
You got $20 for that?
Yeah, so, I mean, people go, like, my thing was always, like, I wanted to get as high as I could in the ranks. And so I wanted to do well in as many of the categories as I could.
Yeah.
And, you know, like, that was always fun. And, you know, coming second was pretty great. But yeah, it is very different from your sort of standard, like, ITS event, mm-hmm. in that way. There's a lot more.
It puts you in that kind of frame of mind where you want to do well in all three. You know, you don't. You know, I mean, you can just do well in one if that's what you want to aim for.
Exactly.
But it does encourage somebody to aim for those three and to be thinking about those three, because they do impact your score, which is different from most other systems, and especially how Infinity.
Yeah, exactly right. Well, and it becomes a real celebration of the hobby, because, you know, you run up, like, a game against someone that's like, you know, I spent 12 months getting this army to look as amazing as it possibly can. And then you get to hang out with that person and just talk to them about all the stuff they did. And maybe, like, you know, it's a bit of a, like, if you're there to win games, it's a bit like the game might be, you know, like, a little lopsided or what have you. But, like, you know, that's okay. That's all part of it. That's all part of the fun of, like, being at ARC. You both want to walk away with a great sports score and, like, memories of an excellent game.
At least he lost while looking at a work of art.
That's exactly right.
I think picking up his pieces individually as they die and then putting them over there and looking at them.
looking at what he did.
How is the table
for 2 seconds.
How are the painting and the sports, how are they scored? Are they scored by your opponent? Are they scored by the organizers? What's the...
It sort of changes intermittently. They're always, and I'm sure, like, you know, Dan's probably the best person to talk to about this kind of stuff, but they're constantly sort of refining the scoring rubrics that they use. But mostly you'll have paint judges that walk around and just sort of have a rubric that they tick off. And that's sort of out of 50 points, and they're looking for, like, they're looking to, like, create a bell curve of painters. So there'll be, like, a handful of excellent armies and a handful of, like, you know, only a handful of armies that are, like, borderline on, like, whether they should be there. But most of the armies will end up sort of in this nice sort of middle ground. Sometimes they'll just have one judge, and, like, they'll have a handful of judges and they'll split the room. A couple of times they've had three judges judge every single army at the tournament, and I think that was a bit of overkill, sort of having to judge 170 armies like three times. It's like, what, 510 individual paint judging. So, and it's really good. They come up and they have a chat to you, and you shoot the shit. And again, this is one of the things where it's like, these are all people that, like, you would have known for ages, that are like pillars of the community that you get to sort of hang out with and chat with and sort of, you know, have a bit of interaction with while you're, and show off, you know, like show off the stuff, what you've done over the last 12 months in the hobby. And then sports is after the game, you give your opponent a score out of 10. Is it 10? Yeah, it is. Score out of 10. And again, like the rubrics they give you are like, you know, you want it to be a 5 or a 6 as like top of the bell curve, like standard 40K experience. But like people being chill, like it, obviously the curve starts a lot more around the 7, 8, 9 higher. Sort of.
Yeah.
People are just like, especially when you're having such a great time, people are inclined to just give people the benefit of the doubt and that's the best game ever. And sort of stack it up. But it's good. It means that you end up with like lots of really great sports scores across the field. And then, yeah, battle is just out of 20 per game. And is it out of 20? I think it's, I don't know. Again, it changes every year. It's sort of like...
Is this 440K? Is this how 40K is scored, or is this like a special ARC scoring?
This is specially for ARC, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, this is very different. Normally, you have... it's 90 points for a game and then 10 extra points for if your army's painted or not, like minimum standard. But this is like, yeah, this is... It's one third for each component. So a third sports, a third battle, and a third painting and like hobby. Yeah, it's pretty cool.
And I had one more question. So they are smaller points games. This is coming from someone who has so little experience with 40K. What's the average like length of a game at about that 1350 mark? So what would you expect a game to run for in terms of time? Do they fit more rounds in the weekend than a normal 40K tournament would? Or
yeah, well, most 40K tournaments, you'd like your standard sort of 5 rounds, like the 3 and 2. And ARC has always had 6 rounds. So 3 and 3. So they're sort of 2 hour and 15, 2 hour and 30 minute rounds, I think they are. Yeah. They're always traditionally been. Similar to a
30-50.
And they've had great incentives, like you get battle point bonuses if you make it to turn 4. And the battle scoring system is incredible. It's it's not zero sum, so like,
yeah, right, so you want to get something.
Yeah, well, but it's also like you're not dependent on like, you know, it's not like there's a possible score of 20 and if you get 20 your opponent gets 0. Like you right. could both get sort of 80, like one player could get 90 points, perfect score, and the other player can get 83 points and like out of a possible like 90 per game or whatever, 100 per game or whatever. And you'll have games where, you know, you'll be like, all right, well, how do we get you a few extra points? Like, you know, we're barring towards the end of the round. Let's just like, you know, get it done. What are we doing? So it just encourages like a collaborative sort of.
You're giving me some ideas as the TO for the ARC committee.
That's
actually,
fantastic. I love this. That.
So far I've learned a lot about ARC. I mean, I've skim read it so far. You talk about it a bit, but now listening to you talk about it more is making me go, "Oh, we could really do something with this system." I think.
Well, and that's what I'm really excited about. I mean, you know, this is what I want to see for for Arcfinity. I think it'll be as an avid Slack fan of Arc, this is what I want to see for Infinity meeting that format.
Are we going to change it to a 200-point tournament?
Well, we can get into that, I guess.
If you make it to round four, you get a beer, you poor son.
Yeah, it's 250 in six rounds, is that?
Yeah. Okay. 200 sounds more doable, I think.
Yeah.
All right, so that's Arc 40K. And this new one this year, it's going to be called Arc Fest, if I'm remembering correctly.
Yeah.
And so how does Arc Fest differ from the old sort of Arcanicon Arc 40K brand? How is it different this year?
Well, they've added a bunch of new games, and a bunch of new like concepts. They've moved it to a much bigger venue. Yeah, they're just making it. It's huge. They've made it. They've just made it a much more expansive sort of celebration of the entire hobby. Because there's also a thing they added last year was Arc Open, which was a painting competition, like a pretty big deal painting competition that's kind of based on like Golden Demon, sort of catching that. Sort of vibe. So that's been added, and I think they're doing a painter's lounge as well. We'll probably be seeing
hang out and paint and stuff.
Yeah. It's like talk to painters and hang out with the painting judges and all of that sort of cool stuff.
Because what's the one in CanCon? Is the Crimson Brush?
Yeah, Crimson Brush. So they do the same sort of thing there, and that's been really cool to see because the Arc Open, the guy that's running Arc Open, a guy called Andrew Long, was at Crimson Brush doing like all their sort of like did a big interview there and helped out and was hanging out for the weekend, and then all the guys that do the Crimson Brush are coming down for the Arc Open and they're gonna be hanging out and having a good time, and also doing Dave was judging Crimson Brush, a guy called Dave Caldwell, was judging Crimson Brush, and he won Best in Show at Arc Open last year. So if you want to meet some of the best painters in Australia, they'll be there.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
And so what games are going to be at Arc Fest, do we know?
We certainly do. So it's Arc of Sigma. I love this anyway. So it's Arc of Sigma, Arc Heresy, which is Zone Mortalis Horus Heresy tournament. And then there's MCP. The tournament called Days of Future Past. And I'm pretty sure that's the
and Arcfinity.
And Arcfinity, yeah.
And Arcfinity.
This is why we're saying.
Yeah, that was actually quite a fun little conversation we had with Dan when we were approached if we wanted to add in. And we're like, oh, what like they were just like, what are you gonna call the event? And I was like, I don't know, like Infinity at Arc. And then I think was it Nick or might have even been Dan going, well, what about Arcfinity? And then it was like, yep, that's done. And he's like, all right, I'll mock up a logo. What's Infinity? Is there an Infinity logo? And we were like, this one. And he's like, sweet. And he just kind of like, you know, Photoshopped Arc in front of Infinity and done. I was like, this looks great. Let's run with that. Yeah, it was excellent. Yeah, it was done so quickly as well. So it was great to just see that like just come, you know, out. Sometimes when you're like trying to get artwork done, it can be take ages or look real shit, but he did it like real nice and like less than a day, so it's good, like less than an hour really actually.
So Arc Open is the painting competition.
Yes. Is it
open? The only real sort of like just open painting competition that I have any experience with is I went along to the what was it called? It was called like Miniatures Showcase or something like that. A couple of years ago, I went with Julian, and is it sort of similar in terms of there's like a best single painted model, a best bust, a best army, a best how is it sort of judged? What's the
So it's so it's got to lean towards sort of that 40k aesthetic and that sort of Golden Demon sort of style, like small, like single mini, like large mini and diorama. But then they also have like really thrown it open to the whole painting community with like, yeah, all the busts and the historical stuff. And there was even some like pretty nice Infinity minis that that did all right, that got some medals last year, I think. So
yeah, I was just looking at the website. So there's like single miniature, unit, large figure, open display, but then they also seem to have like, you know, best in show and also most popular in show. So I guess that's like,
yeah, so everyone,
people's vote.
Yeah, so when you go on, because it's all on display, you get to just go have a look, and when you're there, you can just like, who's your favorite model? And then that person gets a, so, and it's really cool too, because the guy that won best in show, Jared Clifford, is on the, he won best in show last year. And he's now on the judging panel this year. So they're really there's lots of like veneration and like.
Was that a Chaos Dwarf? Was that the one last year?
The Chaos Dwarf was painted by Dave Caldwell.
That was best in show.
That was best in show. The person who won the like People's Choice. Which was a Black Templar squad fighting a bunch of Tyranids. That was Jared Clifford. He's on the judging committee this year, along with Victoria Lamb and another guy called Pete Overton, who's like, Pete Overton's been a Melbourne staple of painting competitions for years and years and years and years. He's done tons of like duels and stuff. He used to win the duel category back in the day.
Yeah, that Black Templar is fighting the Tyranids.
The diorama. Like, yeah, it's freaking, it's cool, dope. Cool. You can see exactly why it won Player's Choice, right? Because it was just 40k last year, and that was just there out in the open as you left the tournament. You just looked at that, and it was like, holy shit, that is.
I will put a link to it in the show notes for anyone who wants to have a look and see.
It looks so good. Also, I just stumbled across another system that might be being played at. There's also Arcamunda. I think Necromunda is also at it too.
So Arcamunda is like a separate tournament that they've run out of, like that's sort of a 6 months later.
It's not
the same event, but it's sort of like the sister event kind of thing. They might be having it at the event this year, but
it seems to be in November, so it'll be. It looks like it might be different.
Well, and that's a good like it's a good little palate cleanser for all of the super duper hobby guys. So like, you know, you paint up 12 Necromunda dudes and go down and go pew 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 for a weekend, then get back on your get back on your full 40k army grind.
Nice.
So lots of stuff going on this year. But I'm just very excited about getting to play Infinity. It's gonna be insane.
Yeah, and I got a little bit of information as well. So he's from Dan. Dan, by the way, I guess I haven't met him in person, but he's the longtime organizer for ARC, I believe, or at least one of them, anyway.
Yeah, so he took over 10 years ago, maybe.
Yeah, right.
Maybe a little bit more. I probably shouldn't just randomly guess.
Fully ingrained. We might have him on the show. This is not my show anymore, but I might have him. Maybe.
We might have him on Josh later on.
We might do a Arcfinity ArcFest wrap up roundtable, and we'll invite Dan along, I guess. That sounds
Right.
Like
okay.
We can talk about how we changed up the event from a normal Infinity event, and I think that would be a really fun way to introduce that sort of style of game to the rest of the community. I think that'd be fantastic.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Briefly, just on like how that'll work is there's gonna be a Sandown race course, which is like a huge, it's a race course, so it's got a huge like exhibition area in it and whatnot. But there's like two main buildings where the thing that the Arc Fest will be happening, and one building will be Arc Open and all the painting stuff, and then the other building will be all the games. So our Arcfinity will be in there with the 200 odd 40k players, and then 30 to 50 per system gamers of everybody else. So it sounds like it's going to be a big area, big con type event. So we won't be, we'll be in the thick of it, I guess, which will be nice to see and experience, rather than, sometimes when you're you feel like you're an add-on to an event and you get pushed into a side room where you're it's quiet, but you're also just kind of away from everybody. It's also kind of cool that we're going to be in the thick of it, because one of the other reasons why we wanted to be part of ARC, or Nick and I decided, wanted to be part of ARC, is obviously we want to showcase Infinity, right? We want to put Infinity out there to the wider community and show off how cool a game it is, and how cool the miniatures are, and how cool the people who play the game are as well. So that'll be
in that order.
Yeah. Sorry, I'm jumping ahead again, because we're getting into this exact bit.
It'll definitely be
the tables. I think the Infinity community could really put its best foot forward and bring the sort of best 15 tables that you could possibly accumulate.
Well, that's my next 8 weeks is definitely going to be put, most of my time is being put towards a new table. I've got very big ideas that I don't think will pay off, but we'll see. See if it happens. But, you've got to shoot high, and then maybe you'll get something good.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, listen, it wouldn't be an ARC weekend if you didn't spend, a bunch of sleepless nights in the lead up to the weekend.
The great thing is that I have a month off work in April, so I'll be able to just spend so much time doing a little bit of everything, which is fantastic. So that sort of all covers, So we've got, we're excited to show off Infinity. We're excited that it's a large event, and we really want to be part of such a big event.
Well, I think it's also
the convention that we're a part of is sort of the CanCon side of things. So
it's also got a lot of national and international cachet. They had Squidmar miniatures out here last year. Which is Squidmar's one of the really big Warhammer YouTubers. YouTube personalities. He came out, he flew all the way out from Scandinavia for it, and was trepping around the event last year, sort of doing little box pops and recording stuff. And they've got, the streaming setup for it last year was prodigious. It was huge, this huge insane booth with this table. It's worth looking at, actually. I love Infinity tables, but this table, it gives the best Infinity table a run for its money. It's the Legends and Lore guys put together this Titan graveyard.
The Titan one?
It is, yeah. It's pretty.
Is that the one that's at House of War now?
Yeah.
It's such a cool table. I think that's sort of that's one thing that Infinity kind of we don't see it a lot in Australian tables because we overtly dense. Well,
overtly dense to me.
We like warbands. It's fine. It's okay. You're allowed to say it. Warbands is the best part of the game.
I'm Josh Denver Generate. We've got Kevin Shotgun Ali Hamilton, and then Ryan loves a chain rifle too, so I get it.
What you're saying is
well-known ninja enthusiast.
Tables based Australia on barren wastelands.
No, I think we just don't do the sort of narrative or tables that tell a story.
As
other communities do. The 40k community is a big, some of the 40, the ones that have spent hundreds of hours on these tables obviously have this, this Titan graveyard one, incredible. There's another one at House of War, I think, that has it's like a table in hell or something, and has like these like floating islands with the blood lakes, and it's really, really cool. And I know a lot of like the tournaments, Infinity tournaments out of Europe, we see a lot of like German and French tables, which look amazing, you know, potentially hell to play on, but you know, you'll have a you'll bloody love looking at it while you you know,
well, and like this is the cool thing about ArcFest, how you bring all these games together is like you can get narratives and dialogues like this going across all of these angles. So
the only way to bring, you know, bring up the level of everybody else is to show competition. And so, you know, we've got a certain level of competition at the at that sort of like the local, at least local Melbourne Infinity level of what a table, a good table looks like. And it'd be fun to see what those next level tables that of 40K do to the Infinity community, especially those, like, you know, those big hobbyists that are in the community as well.
Well, and I think the getting the Infinity community down there to see the because they do army displays, right? So everyone sets up their armies and you get to wander around and you vote for your best army. I think, yeah, being there for that is like pretty mind-blowing, because some of the stuff that you'll see will just like explode your brain with how good it is.
And is that something you can check out, you know, just during the weekend? That's separate from the Arc Open. That's like,
no, this is for 40K. Like they do the most coveted painting award is the player's choice. So and the player's choice comes from like everyone goes around to all the different tables where all the different armies are set up and votes for their favorite army. Everyone comes in, sets up their armies, and then everyone just walks around and votes for their favorite army.
You just set up your table, set up the table that you're at with your army, and then people just take 40 minutes, whatever, to walk around. That's really cool. That's a good way of doing armies on parade, I think.
I think that's one of the things that's often been a struggle for in other game systems, Infinity plus other game systems I've played in, is on a 5-round event, you often only have 10 minutes to walk around and look at other people's armies. Yeah. Because it's usually been in between round 1 and 2 or between round 4 and 5, and you've got to go get lunch. And so having, you know, forcing a point in time, I don't know how you fit it in a day, to be honest, but to get people to walk around and really immerse yourself in someone's army, because it's great when you're looking across the table at it, but it's a different thing when you can look at the army on a display board or in some kind of diorama. But what I need to find out from Dan is whether or not there will be a kind of all Arc Fest kind of armies on parade, or if they'll be separate systems, obviously, because you've got like 150 40k players and then like, you know, 30 Infinity players, it might be a bit difficult. But I mean, I think it would still be good to encourage people to, you know, certainly I'll, you know, be encouraging Infinity players to check out all the other armies as well.
Because we know how many players signed up for Infinity so far.
We have 15 paid. We're about halfway there with 8 weeks to go, so I reckon we can definitely fill the other 15.
Yeah, piss it in.
Yeah. Easy. Not getting too sidetracked, so we can get into that, but like the what I wanted to share about being excited about the event is, yeah, what you were saying, Ryan, is just being part of the event as a whole. And you were saying that about streaming, that's something that I would also like to try to incorporate more into Infinity as well, just to get people to engage in watching a game online, you know, reach out and touch other communities around the world, because, you know, we're a bit isolated here in Australia, and there's often a lot of like talk about our meta. So if people can sit and watch us play in the meat space, or not in the meat space, but via Twitch, that would be pretty cool, and also give a bit more notoriety to you know, our little neck of the woods. Because we've got a lot of loud voices, but I don't know if we have that many, you know, players.
Unfortunately, all the loud voices are Pano players, so it attracts a certain.
There is a lot of them.
So that's enough about Ark and 40K. What will Arkfinity look like, Kevin? What are you bringing to us?
So, seeing as it's the first year at Ark, and when we were approached by Dan about it, we didn't really quite know what it was about. Like, we knew what it was about, but we didn't quite know how to incorporate and best way to incorporate Infinity in its first year. So, what we've done for the first year at Ark is it's going to be a fairly standard 300 point ITS event type thing for, you know, again, we want to encourage people to come. Most people play at 300 points. So until we become more established, maybe we'll stick with 300 points. But I do like the idea of playing around with points values and whatnot to make it a bit more of a standalone event. But as we've already discussed, there's already quite a lot about Ark that's different that I don't want to make too many changes too early and potentially either put people off or there's a fly in my face. Or whatever. So yeah, 300 points, no extras. The missions will be Superiority, Frostbite, Acquisition, Mind Wipe, and Cutthroat. The reason for the two direct action missions at the start and end were, I guess, just to be a bit different, but also to encourage people who may have just finished our slow grow that we're running or about to run this weekend, a little bit of a, I don't know, like an on-ramp or something, so that they're not... You know, if they've only just played 9 games of Infinity and then give them, like, you know, a bunch of hard missions to play, the two direct action missions might just be a bit easier.
Oh, man. Cutthroat as number 5 is such a weekend ruiner.
Or a weekend maker. Whichever way you want to look at it.
Yeah. How many models in the Unknown Ranger kill?
Well, I think Cutthroat's kind of fun, though, because you get this, it's an interesting mechanic in Cutthroat where you get a key ops in Cutthroat, and the idea of that part is you get points for killing the key ops, but you also get points for killing more with your key ops than your opponent kills with theirs. So there's like kind of like a nice little like trade-off there and a little bit of a showdown between the two key ops. And also because...
Go ahead. I was just going to say real quick, one of the things they've always done at Ark is Game 6 has always been like the 40k equivalent of Annihilation.
That was
for years and years and years and years and years. They've just been like, nah, you guys have been freaking nerding out too much for 5 games. Too hard. Just kill each other. You're fine. Last game. Just do it.
Oh, well, I'm glad that happened. And I guess, not nerding out about the missions too much, but because Superiority, Frostbite, Mind Wipe, and Cutthroat all require some kind of either a key ops, a hazmat ops, a Uber hacker, or something like that, we felt like there could be some interesting play there to have fun challenges every round that involves the key ops. Right, you know, either challenge, you know, either do something with this key ops or don't have them die or whatever it is, and that may factor into additional points that you'll earn at the end of the weekend, or you'll get a prize for, like, you know, best whatever the thing is. We haven't quite worked it out yet, but we figured it's an opportunity, I guess, to play with some of the scoring. Tickets are $95, which is on the higher end compared to a normal 2-day event that you might expect in Australia. But to put that into context, BCB last year was $80. So it's only an extra $15. I know in the cost of living crisis, $15 is, you know, not insignificant. But given what Ryan's been spooking about this event and the scale of the event, I think it is probably a pretty fair cost. And it's also like it's the same cost. It's actually cheaper than what I think the 40k players will be paying as well. So it's all relative.
Yeah, I think you like no one like regret spending the money after.
Yeah, it's like it's value for money.
Yeah, it's a stellar weekend. Yeah. You're not. And
And I think one of the
every dollar will be on display. I can tell you that right now.
Well, that's good to know as well, because I think one of the things is, you know, the cynical side of some people might be like, oh, it's such an expensive event. Where's that money going? I bet it's going into the organizers' pockets and whatnot. But the fact that the people who run ARC run like what we do at Melbourne Wargaming Incorporated, a not-for-profit, means that we are legally bound to not make a profit for it, or to at least re-inject any money raised back into the community in the form of having bigger and better and more fun events. So like, if there's anyone out there who has like a thing about, you know, paying too much money for events, because I know we've, you know, you have this all the time, people don't like spending money for events, but then don't understand why, you know, how much it costs to run an event. I just wanted to get that out of the road, out of the way. First thing up is just say like,
it's, I don't think it's something you need to stress about. It's, you'll pay your $95 and then at the end of it, you'll be like, oh damn, I'm really glad I paid that $95. That was really good.
Yeah, and I also think, I don't think that Infinity players, by and large, go to events to win prizes. You know, they don't go to events and be like, ah, oh, you know, where's my $100 voucher? Like, people come for the experience and the fun and to see friends. And if they get, if they walk away with a bluster or some cool tokens or a voucher at the end of it, sweet, that's a reward for your hard work. But
$95 is like about on par with $5 an hour for, you know, entertainment over a weekend. Like, it's pretty cheap.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, not much else you're going to do is going to be about that expensive. It's going to be that cheap, really. You know, for a whole weekend of, you know, could be pain, but, you know, at least you'll have friends.
I just think it's important that, like, you know, I've been playing Infinity, or I've been playing War Games for a long time, and, you know, the days of paying $50 for a 2-day event is long gone. So I think that's also part of, I just want to mention that at the top, because you know, we have had a few people like ask about the price, and usually when you rationalize it, it sort of makes a lot of sense. Especially like, say, BCB is $80 anyway, and people love coming to that and they feel like they get their money's worth. So
yeah, when you're at the event, you'll see why. It's Dan's not in the game to make money.
No, that's great, and that's what I love about this event. And yeah, 30 player cap. I guess we could have probably gotten more, but at the same time, you know, given that we've got quite a few events on this year and this is our first year at it, let's not try to you know, we can
compete with 40k later.
The stars and we land on the moon, we'll be pretty happy with that.
Absolutely.
I guess that leads into, like, you know, why should people come. I guess we've been talking about that this entire night. Brian's been waxing lyrical about his 10 years at ARK, which is incredible. That's well done. But thank, I mean, you know, for me as a TO, like, what I love about running these events is like, 2-day events are hella fun. Like, you get to see your friends, you get to meet new people. We've got a slow grow that's, you know, happening this weekend and is going to run from this weekend until ARK.
So, and an escalation league on the other side of the city as well, on the west side of the city.
And an escalation league
happening. A few veterans are playing in that we can spruik events and stuff like that. So hopefully
that's cool.
We'll get a bunch of new players from this. Be lots of fun.
Yeah, so that will be encouragement for new players. You know, it'll be a nice, again, a little on-ramp for them to not be too scared about coming to their first big 2-day event and be like, I don't know anybody, because you're gonna know people and everyone's awesome. You know, you get to experience a big con. I don't know, can we call it a con? It's not really a con, is it? It's a fest, right? It's a music fest, but it's indoors and there's no music and
there'll be music.
People are just as sweaty.
People smell just as much. Far less drugs though. Depends. It depends if you're playing Age of Sigmar or not. I just got a rough look from Ryan.
Age of Sigmar's a great game. Sort of really excited about those guys being there as well.
They are a rowdy bunch at CanCon, so
that is also true.
Energy they bring to ARKfest, I think, would be great. even if you don't know anybody, you know my voice. You know Kevin. You should know my face by now if you watch the YouTube. You know Kevin's voice and face. Come say hi. We'll be friendly at the very least. Ryan as well. We'll also be friendly.
Well, this event has sports scores, so I'm definitely going to be friendly.
Yeah.
I will smile at you.
I got to bring a whole bunch of extra speeds to this tournament, Josh.
Wait, so are you going to be playing Arcfinity or Arc 40K or 40K?
I'm playing Arcfinity, yeah.
All right, so you're playing both, just being like fucking running back and forth.
Yeah, double games.
That's great.
This is the tournament to win for Ryan, I think. This is
Well, it'd be nice to win Arc for once. That would be.
Yeah.
I don't think I realistically have a chance at 40K.
Well, coming to Arcfinity and playing in Arcfinity increase your veteran score?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, yeah.
All right.
Everyone that comes to Arcfinity will, like, they'll go on the register, and then Dan will have their names. And then if you come to 5 Arcfinities, you'll get a Veterans Award at Arcfinity as well.
Oh, nice. Like, that's
That's
another reason to come. Absolutely. Come once, come for the next 5 years, and you'll get a reward. But I guess that just feeds into that.
It's a lovely little plot with lots of swearing on it.
It's placed into the sports and the hobby aspect and the community aspect, and the fact that you said, you know, you can come 100th, but you can win best sports, and that it gets a huge, you know, it gives you, you know, it's a huge like reward for people, or you can come and you can play to your strengths, play what you want to play, and have fun from it. So I think that's great for like new players and veterans to, you know, I guess, yeah, leave the whack at the door, I guess, and not that many players are. That you're
is this something that you're going to incorporate into your scoring for Arcfinity?
Well, I mean, we can get onto that if we're ready.
Yeah, ready. Yeah. I think that was Ryan's subtle way of segueing into the next section.
I want to know.
Yeah. So, well, I mean, look, I haven't really cleared this with the other TO yet, but it has been mentioned, and so I'm just gonna say it.
Far too concerned with Song of Ice and Fire. It's fine. You can.
So scoring at ARC will be different from regular Infinity events. We will be using ARC scoring in a similar vein to what Ryan has mentioned. The some of the nuts and bolts need to be figured out, but if you've ever been to a previous Burn City Brawl, the scoring will work in a similar way to that, with the exception being that rather than it forming a separate part to your score, it will be added to your overall score. For purposes of, so not for purposes of your player matchups during the weekend, but it will go into your final overall score at the end of the weekend, which I assume is sort of roughly how it works for.
That's exactly ARC how it works.
So your pairings will be based on your score, your battle score, but then at the end of the weekend, your overall, so first, second, third overall will be based on your combined sports and painting scores. We currently don't have judges for painting, so to do what you mentioned earlier, Ryan, to do the rubric that, you know, is kind of like out of 50 or whatever it was. So we will be using, well, at the moment we're going to be using the sort of same scoring system rubric that we use for BCB.
And that's peer judging, right?
Beer judging.
Peer.
Yes,
sorry. Yeah, judge. I was taking a sip of a beer as I said that, so yeah, that is fair enough.
Confused me. Peer judging, with the obviously the notable exception is because, actually, I'll get into this in a second. So there will be a rubric. There will also be extra prizes as well. So there will be, we are going to have a TO's choice type thing, and we will also have a player's choice. Kind of what you mentioned there for painting painting scores, so we'll have, you know, we'll try and do an armies on display so that people can, you know, because the peer scoring works really well during the game, but then obviously you don't have an opportunity to show all of your models and on your beautiful display board that you've made. So we wanna encourage that that aspect of the game, borrow that from ARC, because like the scoring system I use for BCB is just borrowed from ARC. It was your idea, I think, Ryan, you gave me that idea, like use that one. And then we just kind of modified it slightly, I guess, for Infinity players, mostly just to make it a little bit easier, not so much easier, but you know what I mean, just not to overwhelm people who don't know what the deal is.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. But I think that's a really healthy thing to have, is like, you have like BCB, which is that more traditional, like, Infinity events, you know, road to Spain, like the world, like to the Interplanetario, like that is a legit like Infinity. And this is like ArcFest. ArcFinity is like, you know, it's a hobby event. It's a celebration of the hobby in its entirety, you know. It's not I want people going to ArcFinity to be telling me about like how much hobby they've been doing, or like about how they're looking forward to, like, you know, being the coolest guy there and winning best sports, you know what I mean? Like, that would be rad. That's what I'm excited about.
And I think the community in Melbourne, anyway, I think in Australia, although I guess states may vary, is in a really healthy place that we can afford that. You know, we have already got Burn City Brawl, we've already got CanCon, we have pretty regular competitive events, so there's definitely room for a more casual, hobby focused, sports focused event, because you know you have your competitive event, and now you have this event, so it's great. It gives people options, and you know, we can only really have those sorts of events when you have a community that is as healthy as ours is. So that's testament to our recovery from COVID and our ability to, you know, get, you know, 30 to 50 players at local 2-day events. So I'm really excited and hoping that people will be enticed, you know, to come along and experience the event, the larger event.
Sorry, I should just back it up. The just to entice the sweaty boys while we're still here, the winner of the best sports is still gonna get his ITS ranking. Best general is still gonna get his ITS ranking and stuff, right?
Yeah. That was another thing that was mentioned, as there will still be a best general, which we will call like ITS winner, because it will still be an ITS official event. We've already got the code; it's already up there. It's in the list. So if you do the best out of five rounds, have the most OP or TP, then you will be still crowned best general / ITS winner, and you will get the ITS winners stuff.
Yeah. So if that's the thing that you're really passionate about and you really love about Infinity, then like pay your money, stump up, you know, chuck your three colors on, be like a half decent guy and come down, get your ITS wins and just hang out with us, you know?
I'm 100th out of 30.
and then come 100th. In the overall score.
Is it going to be an overall score? And are we going to, all the Infinity players going to be like 1,000th out of all? out of that all of the Age of Sigma and the 40K and the Necromunda.
It will be interesting, because there is, having done BCB in this manner with the scoring for a couple of years, we've looked, you know, us, the TOs, myself, Peter, and Nick, have looked at the scores after the event, and we have done theoretical, what would your score have been had we added your sports and your painting scores onto it for the five rounds? And 9 times out of 10, the scoring doesn't actually change, because people generally have a very, you know, the people who play at the top of the game, well, sorry, at least the scoring for the top three, top five doesn't change, because people at the top end generally already come with three color, you know, they're usually pretty good painters anyway. They're also happen to be pretty good people anyway. So there's usually very little change. I can't recall a time where,
That's the great thing about Infinity too, because it really is like such a collaborative game that you have to kind of be a half decent sport out the gates, right?
And people who generally want and will want to paint their minis, because they'll want to give the people they're playing with a good game. And you give people a good game by having, or a better game, sorry, by having painted miniatures.
Well, also Infinity sort of lends itself to it, because there aren't as sort of frequent like balancing updates and things like that. So therefore, there's not new units for people who sort of chase the meta and the best and all that kind of stuff. It's sort of not as you know you're going to do far better if you're the most competent at an army that you've played for years and years and years and years and years,
than someone who's picked up, you know, combined army and, you know, takes and vibe checks their way to a 4-0, Jordan, at CanCon. You're still gonna do better if, you know, like Rob was saying last night for the, from the recording, was that, you know, he put his two Bakuna lists together and hasn't played a game of Infinity since like October before CanCon. And he kind of vibe checked his way through CanCon, but he put it down to mostly he knows Bakunin inside and out. He knows his army inside and out. And so I think Infinity kind of lends itself to, you know, these things that you've had for ages, these painted models that you've had forever, are going to be the best you're going to do with anyway, because of the balance. It's quite, sort of like even between factions.
Yeah, so when you were saying, Ryan, about how 40k does like a kind of comp score as well for, like, you know, how broken is your army list? Is that roughly kind of how it works, right? Because is there still comp in 40k? You know, like, is there like things where you're saying, like, if you take this, you can't take this, or there's nothing like that?
No, there's there's, you have to have a leader, and there's still the rule of three, so you can't have more than three of any particular unit.
Okay, right. Yeah. So, I mean, when I looked at that, I was like, would that work in Infinity? But it would just be such an arbitrary, like, what is OP? There's not, like, really a consensus. There's probably some stuff in there in the edges, but I don't think it would work to be, like, for the TOS to be the arbiter on what is fair in Infinity, because it's such a, there's so many permutations of what, and like you described there.
Well, that's peer judged as well. So, At the end of the game, you get to mark your opponent's sports and you mark your opponent's comp.
So I'm just wondering, would that work in Infinity, or does that factor into the sports score?
I don't. I think Infinity is a lot more less solved in terms of, like, stuff that's kind of just oppressive and too strong. But also the thing about 40K is that 40K is really, really, really solved for 2,000 points. Almost to the same level that like Magic the Gathering, like, decks are solved, you know? Like, you have meta lists, and they're the lists that, like, work in that environment. But the thing that Arcwork does really well is that, because all of those synergies are cut down by a third, you end up with these lists that are, like, a little bit funky, a little bit wacky, a little bit wild, like, and sort of you get to take units that are different and cool and fun, and use them in really interesting and quite different ways to how games of, like, a 2,000 points resolve. Whereas I'm not sure if that's, like, quite as big a consideration in Infinity. So, I mean, I definitely think it would be one of the things they talk about is, like, theme and how thematic your army is. And I think that would be a fun thing for Infinity players to have to figure out. Like, how thematic is my list? Like, I don't know what that means. They're all just names. Yeah. I don't know what the theme to any of these things are.
I'm playing a sectoral, therefore I have theme.
Yeah, theme.
I'm playing AVA Total Highlanders, and there's nothing you can do to stop me.
I think, I think that's something that could be worked on, but I think at the moment we have, you know,
it's probably a bit ambitious for year one, right?
Year one, yeah. I mean, at the moment, things will be scored basic ITS format, and then you'll have your sports score, which will be out 5, where 1 is the worst and 5 is the best. Like what you mentioned, Ryan, 3, you want to sit in around about the middle point, but sometimes you can award a 4 or even a 5 if it was the best game you've ever had. And then similarly, hobby is done in the same way, except there will be a slight change because. As we've sort of alluded to, I don't know if I've actually mentioned it, but ARC will be a mandatory 3-color basing requirement. So you will not be able to participate in the event unless you have your models all based and painted to a three color minimum standard, which is a new thing for Infinity. And I'm excited to see how
they have leather clad invigilators with crops walking up and down the aisles, smashing unpainted models off tables.
No, the whole thing. You know, what's that like? One rotten apple, and the whole army goes to the torch.
All peen hammers. None of that has ever happened.
You just didn't paint your war core.
The 14 models that you have painted get destroyed.
Well, that's true. Like, you know, if you rock up to an event, like, I mean, I don't want to make it sound punitive, because I don't think it is, because I believe the majority of Infinity players have been playing long enough that they should have a painted army.
Well, and the community's been doing such a good job recently, like with all of that hobby chats and hangouts, that, you know, I can't see how people aren't going to have their armies all painted up for it.
And that's it, yeah. And that's it. Like, I don't want to just be like, yeah, saying, you know, you will do this or else. It'll be, you know, this is a requirement, and this is how we're going to help you achieve it. We've been doing Monday night catch ups every Monday since the start of the year, kind of just doing little few hours every night. Give you an opportunity to do some painting.
If you come to ARC with a non-painted miniature, you will be handed a list of Kevin Starko, and you'll have to play that. Or Kevin's hat, and you'll have to play that. Or Kevin's hammer, and you'll have to play that.
Look, if you've just been through a breakup or something's going on wrong in your life and you just couldn't get that last war core painted, come see me. I will give you a painted war core. We'll ensure that nobody is going to feel like on the day that they're, I don't know, living in shame or something like that. We will help you out, but it will be, you know, it's still a requirement.
What does Raoul expect to do? Who knows? No one knows. Well, Kevin doesn't even know Raoul.
If he never appears on the table, then does he need to be painted?
I have three hidden deployment ninjas, thank you very much. Are they painted? You'll never know. I have three SASs in all of my lists, but I've only got one painted SAS, so the hope is that I never have to reveal more.
You're actually not allowed to pass that discover check. It is
it's just another camel marker. So the scores will be out of five for that one, but obviously one starting at three color minimum, and then it'll go from, you know, two, three, four, five. So there'll be a bit more granularity there in the painting side, which will be nice to see. What you said on theme is what part of the, I should have actually grabbed the rubric there to read out a little bit of the detail, but it will be based on, you know, color, coherency, theme, custom jobs, freehand, that sort of thing, which is where, like, we might not have a theme in your army list, but people will certainly have potentially have a theme with their, you know, with their basing, with their color scheme, with their unit emblems, whatever it is they decide to do. Or in the case of Ryan, a fucking display board, which I don't know if you wanted to talk briefly about that endeavor.
Yeah, well, this is part of this this whole ARC thing. I've put together a little display board workshop, so I'm throwing open my house early in April to a bunch of people to come down and we're gonna build display boards together. So I'm in chats with all the participants. I've actually still got one spare spot at the table. If anyone's keen, you can hit me up. But yeah, I've had some really, really good, productive chats with all the participants so far, and everyone has a really, really clear idea of what they're trying to get done. And I think I think we'll end up with some really, really freaking cool display boards for Infinity. I mean, it's just one of the things that everyone does it at ARC 40K. Like, you just have, it's just like the done thing to bring a display board. And to theme your display board and really, like, make a big show of it.
Not to ask a dumb question, but can you just tell us, the listeners, what a display board is and like.
Oh, of what course. I'm so sorry. I mean,
I think it's fairly self-explanatory, but I think it's not just what it is, but also what it. I don't know, like the purpose of it.
All right, so it's basically a little framed area of terrain that's large enough to house all of your army. That gives it some context, so it's themed in exactly the same way as all the rest of your army is themed. So it's like the same as your bases and gives it some continuity. And it lets you set your army up and to showcase it in its best possible light. But it also it has like mechanical benefits as well. Like it means you can go from one table to the next like really easy and move your army around the event a lot easier. And you know, when you get around to setting your army up at home, once you're all done and you can put it next to the cool best painted trophy that you get, it can look very nice on your shelf. I did it for BCB, and I think it was the reason why, you know, I did very well in the painting comp at BCB last year. And I think it was the
one.
Yeah, I think it was the main reason why I did so well is because it was like, you know, it really stood out. That board wasn't like particularly nuanced, and like. Yeah, at ARC, that's just run of the mill, you know. Like some of the boards you see there, it's phenomenal, like insane levels of detail and theme, and context of the armies that are displayed on them. It's really cool. Like people incorporate all sorts of crazy shit, like music and lights and newspapers, and it's crazy.
Music thing would be neat.
Yeah.
I could see that working really well.
It's 40k, so there's lots of matches.
especially in 40k, yeah. Like 40k is such a.
Put my synthwave Aleph fully painted with the synthwave sun, and then just have some fucking bop like playing in the background.
With the army you're bringing, just have a bagpipe fucking soundtrack going, and immediately get hit on your sports score.
Bagpipe, just come on into ARC. Just hire a bagpiper, there'll be one around. They just follow you into ARC as you come through. I'm pretty sure, there was a guy, so it's a bit of a segue, but there's a guy I know from home, back home in Scotland. He's from Orkney or Shetland. I always forget which island it is. But he came to CanCon one year to play Age of Sigmar. I think he was traveling anyway, and he brought his Age of Sigmar army out. And I'm pretty sure he brought like, you know, he played it on like a boombox as he walked into CanCon to play Age of Sigmar because he was the only Scot in the building. And that was not, it wasn't the year I went to CanCon, but I saw it online. I was like, hang on, that's fucking Stuart. Like, what the hell is he doing in camera playing Age of Sigmar? The only Scot at the event. It's crazy. But that's the sort of stuff that's really
I'll good. Happily play some bagpipes. It'll just be Scotland the Brave on repeat, I think. And make Evan very upset with me.
Display boards are cool. They're a really fun way to juju your hobby up a little bit. They're very easy, which is the thing people, I don't think realize. They take a lot of conceptualizing and thinking about before you jump in, but actually completing of them is surprisingly punchy.
Yeah, right. I'm excited to see. I would have loved to have done it. I just don't have the time between now and then to get one together. But I am very excited to see more of that hobby in our community. I think that's a really good. It sets an example, right? People see it.
Yeah.
And then go, that's a cool idea. I should do that. And I feel like you realize how much you are influenced by what other people have done. You know, in everyday life, but even in wargaming, you'll be like, oh, that's a really good idea. I should, you know, like what do you call them? The thing, command panels, right? You know, the first time I saw
someone
I was like, I need to get one of those. And and the next person does it, and then you start walking around with magnetic trays, and then someone's like, I need to do that, and then before you know it, everyone's walking around with magnetic trays, display boards, that'll happen, that'll be the next thing to take off. So
yeah,
you be the change you want to see, so I'm excited to see that.
Absolutely. What about the sports?
So the sports, yeah, so I think the sports will be the same, scored at 5 for as previous BCB. You know, 1's the worst game we've ever had, 5's the best game we've ever had. Most of the time everyone sits around the 3-4 mark. There will be that will be incorporated into your final score, so it will be important, I guess, because Infinity's marked at a 10. These are only marked at a 5. So it's not going to be like an arc where it's a third. But I do like the idea of making it a third. I think at the time when we were talking to Dan, hadn't really been configured yet. We hadn't really, and Dan's such a pill guy. He was like, yeah, no, you guys do what you want. Like, you know, I don't mind, you know, as long as you're in the spirit of arc, you sound like you're a spirit of arc. So just do what you think. And, you know, the more I talked about it, the more I was like, maybe we should. But then there's like a little bit in my back. Don't make too many changes too fast because it'll scare and confuse people. So that's the current format we're at. But
Saying that, like, adding your sports, and because, like, with your experiment with BCBs, adding your sports and painting scores didn't really change. Have you considered weighting them? So having, you know, sports and hobby count for twice and your general score only counting for 0.75 or something of what it actually is. And then that means that it sort of brings them into line, but it also pushes the hobby and sports score above. Like, I mean, obviously there's going to be a little bit more nuance involved there because there's not... A scoring system between 1 and 5 doesn't have that much sort of granularity, and if you start timesing by 2 or 3 or whatever, you get large swings.
You get a bigger swing.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, the thing is, we can just go and make it the same as arc, which is essentially a 10, but, you know, it's you know, a 5 and a 6 are the same kind of thing. It's just either a 2, 4, yeah, 5, 6 will be the same score, but one slightly higher than the other.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's out of 10. It's out of 10, but the rubric is still the same. So it's like a 0 is gold, go talk to a TO. A 1 is like, 1-2 is like, this was a bad game. A 3-4 is like, and then a 5, and then a 6-7, and an 8-9. And then a 10 is like, this is the best game of 40K I've ever played. Go talk to a TO.
Yeah, so that would be the same. That would be easy to implement. It would just be the same rubric. We just go, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9.
And then just a bit of granularity between granularity those. The best of the 4s is a 9. The worst of the 4s is an 8. And the best of the 3s is a 7 and a 6 or whatever. I like that. Yeah. That's cool.
I think that, and there's definitely room for that to work, because it needs to go into their system in the end, because all the scoring, by the way, will be done. We will be doing ITS scoring, but the scoring for ARC, because they have their own player, what's the word I'm thinking of? Matchmaking app program, I believe, right, Ryan?
Yeah, ARC score. Dan's brother. It's really good.
Yeah, so that's something we need to sit down with the organizers at some point in the next 8 weeks to actually make that work for Infinity. So there's definitely scope to make that wider, and I don't see any reason why we couldn't do that, because then, like you say, then it does make it a third of your score and becomes more impactful.
Would you just do TP then? So you would do your best general is done, your TP, OP, victory point, blah, 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 blah. But then your score for your total arc score is just based off the TP that you've scored, the tournament points. Would it be? It might even just be.
Well,
OP,
I guess you would. You could still use OP. Because I guess TP is marks at a 5, so that would make sense to actually keep it as marks at a 5, isn't it? Because then otherwise you're using OP.
So each game gives you 15 possible points.
Yeah, I think maybe that's why we had it at 5, because it's the same. I was thinking OP, but then the problem with OP is it doesn't account for
whether you win the game or not, which is more in line with ARC 40K.
That's true. Yeah. Well, also it doesn't also account for whether or not you got a defensive or offensive bonus.
True.
But that, so, like, I mean, that comes out in the wash though, because you get your OP.
Yeah, you
score.
Get the offensive bonus from having that. So
you
many
get your offensive bonus OP. For having, you know, 25 OP for the whole tournament, or more, and you get your if you score at least 26 OP or whatever it is. If you score at least 20 OP, in most of your games you've had a defensive bonus if you've lost them. I think OP is fine because it's a general, because like Ryan was saying before, like you're encouraged to sort of in the 40k games is to try and score as many points as you can and help your opponent score as many points as they can as well. So OP sort of brings that more into the spirit from what I can tell. I mean,
yeah,
100%. Okay. Yeah, that's really
any
cool.
Kind of expertise here.
Again,
yeah,
you're changing a lot.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's definitely something to consider and something we will put to the guys who are running the program. But yeah, maybe putting, yeah, so best general is how we normally do it, and then for best overall is just your OP plus your sports and
I think
painting scores.
Super reasonable.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
For possible 30 points per round.
I think OP is a better measure of best general anyway. If you lose but you score 8 OP, you've done pretty you're a great general. You're really good at this game.
That's why Captain Protect's not in there. That's why I don't want Captain Protect in this lineup, because you're like, I won. What was the score? 2-1.
2-1. Yeah.
Or 1-0. You're like,
I think Rob was saying yesterday that his game against Zephyr was a mad scramble in turn 3 to score the offensive bonus in armory, because neither of them put any points in the armory for the first 2 rounds. So
yes. All right, no, that's definitely something to think about. Wouldn't have a problem with that. But yeah. Maybe. Yeah.
Oh, I'm so excited. That's so cool.
Yeah, and we've got some ideas as well for additional little side quests that we may or may not incorporate into, like you say. I like your idea, but that you can get up, you can get 10, but if you score less than 10, but you do some additional missions, side quests, maybe that'll add into your OP at the end. But maybe it'll only count for your overall, not for your best general.
Yes, yeah.
Right, and so one of the ideas we have is, if you remember the classified deck challenge that came out, and Chris Dessens came out with the Mad Sad deck. So
yeah,
we are looking at potentially using Mad Sad deck as a extra thing. So like every game you play, you put down like highly classified, four of the classifieds, 2 of the mad, 2 of the sad, and you just get a point for every one of those you score. So like that will, for those of you who don't know, like a mad sad will be like, one of them will be failing 4 whip rolls in a row, or failing 4 whip rolls across the game, it gets you a point. Or losing an entire fire team to a single flamer template or something gets you a point. But then also winning a face-to-face by rolling a 1 is also like a point. That sort of like those sorts of moments in a game where you're like, what the fuck did you just win? Like,
losing a face-to-face roll by getting 1 over your target number or something.
Yeah. Like
Kevin's life.
Yeah, or like being like 1 inch outside of good range or something with a weapon. Like one of those like moments of like, oh, I'm 17 inches away, this is gonna hurt. And that those sorts of moments, I think, would also encourage a lot of those kind of, well, I'm losing anyway, or like, oh, look, this just happened. This is great. I'll remember this one. And just sort of ways to incorporate other things into the game would be interesting. It's all a bit of a work in progress, but yeah, stay tuned.
Very exciting.
Super exciting. So, in summary, what's Infinity gonna look like at ArcFest?
Well, I mean, I'm kind of a bit unsure because, like, you know, I've never been to ARC before, so we're just gonna rock up on the Friday, you know, as we normally do, and we set up tables in this cool race course with like 300 other nerds. That'll be great. And then the rest of the, you know, event will be, you know, Saturday, Sunday affair. I'm sure there'll be beers after the event. There'll be some late nights for people. It is down in Sandringham. Sandown.
So near
Springvale, which is like on the south east of the city. So not particularly close for those who live in the north or in the west. So there will probably be some kind of a option that I might look into doing an Airbnb or some kind of motel for those of you who don't want to travel trips across the city, but that'll be something I'll be putting out in a messenger chat in the coming weeks. But also if anyone lives nearby and has a spare bed, that would also be really, you know, really, really cool as well.
Lots of floor space in Mount Malvern at my place. I'm happy to put people up as it.
Yeah, cool. Yeah, that's the sort of stuff that like leads to, you know, a really good experience for everyone, because no one wants to finish three rounds and then drive an hour to get home and then have to get up the next morning and drive an hour back across the city. So fixing yourself in a locale would be great. And by all accounts, Sandown, obviously because it's a race course, will be very well serviced with places to eat, places to stay, places to drink. So that shouldn't be an issue either.
Yeah, there's lots around. Springvale is a wonderful area, and you know, so is Waverley and Noble Park, and you know, it's where I primarily work. Yeah. It's lovely.
We want to encourage new players to join. And as far as prizes go as well, there will as always be a plan for prizes. We've got a few things cooking in the works that'll be pretty nice, I think. And I know that speaking to Dan as well, that they provide some pretty awesome trophies and prize support as well for the event. So I'm really looking forward to seeing what comes out from that. Do you have anything you want to say, Ryan?
They do a thing for their presentation. They do a countdown starting from the person that came last, going all the way up until the person that came first. And every single name number gets yelled out, and then Dan will read them out. And then they'll stop like at brackets and do different like best, you know, sports or best painted or whatever. And it takes like an hour. And it's incredibly fun and incredibly embarrassing when you realize that you don't actually know how to count backwards.
what comes before and you say the wrong number. 85
yeah, like 86, 84, and you're surrounded by a whole bunch of nerds that are like looking at you now, and you're just like, oh fuck, oh no, it's
60, 69, 58.
I only know how to count in multiples of six on little pips on a cube.
Well, yeah, every tenth they go gold, and then someone comes up and gets a little prize for coming like a bracket of 10. Anyway, I just realized there's just like a bunch of crazy wacky stuff that they do at ARC that I don't see. You just don't see it other tournaments. It just makes it kind of spectacular. So, and it's just another cool reason why people should come along and experience it.
Absolutely.
Yeah, nice. No, that definitely has given me lots of ideas, lots of excitement.
I'm really excited to see what everyone's painting up for the ARC Open as well. I don't know if you saw the best in show single model is like this terrifying Imperial Guard Commatha painted up by this dude Bucks. It's just such a good mini. I'm just just that sort of stuff. I'm just really excited to see what everyone's getting painted for it. And seeing everyone sort of, you know, throw a model or two into the open, it'll be good to see as well.
Yeah, I was keen on doing that, but I don't know if I've. Maybe I'll see.
I'll have a chat to him while you're there, man. Like they'll boost your ego and support you through, The great
I'm not
that.
A good enough painting and painter, and nor do I really care.
Well, that's
we'll
it. Yeah, it's not your.
We'll get you there.
It's not your prerogative, which is fine. No. You're into the sports.
Not what you got to ask for. That's it.
Yeah, it's great.
I want to be second fiddle to Hugh as nice guy. That's my aim. I'm gonna come number two under Hugh for best
podium in sports.
Yeah.
Well, one of the prizes that we will have that 40K and other game systems won't is best table. Right, which is like you know, that's a coveted prize in
that's
the community.
Huge, yeah.
So you know, that's something that's what
I aim for. I aim for best table this year.
That's what we will bring to the event. That's what Infinity will, you know, the tables and the fact that we celebrate tables that people play on, which I think will be quite exciting to show. Hopefully, you know, people will come around and be like, well, what the fuck is this? Even people still come up to us now when we play and go, what is going on here? And they're like, it's a game.
This looks like a mess.
it looks like a mess. Yeah.
You see all of these little bits of scatter next to buildings that are pushed really close together? That's a table built by Kevin.
But it's so good.
It's telling a story, right?
That story is.
There was a fight that happened.
Take a shotgun to the face, nerd.
Gosh, you're hurting my feelings now.
Range bands under 16 matter. Thank you.
All range bands matter. Oh, God, I sound...
Here at Kevin Hamilton's table building school, we believe that all range bands matter, but 8 to 16 matters most. Or 0 to 8 matters most.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks so much for coming along tonight, guys, and having a chat with me about ARK. I'm super, super excited to see what this event does for the Infinity community in Melbourne, and how we can make it bigger and better and more than the sum of its parts. You know, especially coming from what I've been playing for about 3 years now, and all of the tournaments that I've sort of attended have been just 3 to 5 round sweat fests. So it'll be nice to have a lot of those other things showcased and you know, celebrate that side of the hobby that isn't just bringing the best list and being the best person on the day and rolling the best dice on the day.
Something I forgot to mention before we haven't actually mentioned script. when it is.
Oh, when is our Infinity?
When is our Infinity? It's the Jesus Christ. It'll be the 27th and 28th of April at Sandown Racecourse in Melbourne. We do encourage interstate players to come.
Ages away.
Yeah. Ages away. Heaps of time. 8 weeks. Heaps of time. We have a couple of sponsors on board as well. I'll just quickly spruik them. Scorched Earth and Brutal Cities. Brutal Cities, we know and love. We talk about them all the time on the show. Scorched Earth is also a long-time supporter of Infinity Events in Melbourne. And he creates and sells some really fantastic MDF terrain as well as tokens. And we may or may not be getting his assistance with some prizes for the event, which will be super special and awesome. So
that's Scorched Earth Designs on Etsy, by the way.
On Etsy, yes. And if you go along to the Facebook page, if you're still on Facebook, that's where you'll find the event. We'll put you can put the links in the show notes and stuff.
Yeah, I'll
put the
links
in
the show notes and links to the tickets and everything in the show notes. So yeah. Excellent. Well, thanks so much, guys. It's been wonderful sitting down and chatting with you guys, even though it's just sort of a weekly occurrence for me, but you know, not for everybody else in the world. So you know, thank you for bringing your lovely voices and faces to this little corner of the Infinity space.
Thanks for having us, mate.
It was really fun.
Absolute pleasure.
Yeah, I was worried I was going to waffle on, and I immediately did.
Yeah, you did very, very well, and I think I did my job. A-okay too. I've been your host Josh, and I've been joined by Kevin and Ryan, and this is where we'll say good night. So good night, everybody.
Bye.
Bye-bye.